So before we start, there's two things you should probably know about me. One, I'm very much like my dad in that I might get a bit emotional. So if my voice is cracking, it's because I'm about to cry, not because I'm coming a man, nothing like that. As I'm 35 years young and I'm doing well. The second is that I get very dry and pasty, so you might hear me smacking a bit, especially because this microphone is really close to my mouth. So this is water that kind of tastes like my dad's coffee, which I will be drinking a lot probably during the sermon time. So let's start. The sermon today, I entitled it to make me feel a bit more comfortable. It's in Spanish. It's ¿Cómo te llamas? Which basically means, what is your name? Or how are you called, if you translate it like Google Translate it might do it. So I wanted to title it this because there's something I really like about the verb llamar, because it means to be called. So it not only is it talking about your name, but it's talking about your calling, which is what we're going to be talking about this morning, our identity in Christ and how that leads us to our calling. So when you meet someone, what are the two most common questions you normally ask? One, what is your name? There you go. And the second one, what do you do? This is easier than it's very easy. It's the first things that come to mind. So I was like, what is your name? My name's Jacob. What do you do? I'm a missionary. It's like, sometimes, you know, in the Christian community, that's normal, but someone that doesn't know me might be a little bit weird. But, and then you have to explain what it is. And we'll get more talking about the term missionary later. But first, I wanted to talk about my name. My name, Jacob. I don't know how many of you had these when you were kids, but my parents got them for all of us. They're name plaques. So you put it on your door and it says, Jacob, truthful one. Yeah, everyone's laughing. The people that are laughing know the story of Jacob. Story of Jacob, long story short, he stole his brother's birthright, tricked his father into giving it to him, sold it to his brother for a bowl of stew, which is kind of intelligent. It's devious, but that's one of the meanings of my name as well. So, you know, growing up, I saw my name Jacob, truthful one, and I always heard the story of Jacob. I'm like, well, he doesn't sound too truthful. He's like, you know, and like later, there's a part, you know, he meets God and wrestles with God, and then later God changes his name to Israel. And he's referred to as truthful later in the Bible. But, as I always wondered, I was like, oh, is that really the meaning of my name? And I was born pre-internet, so that makes me feel old, but I know it's kind of mean to say that I'm old when I'm 35 because there's people that are much older than me that also remember when there wasn't an internet. But I was born pre-internet, so it's not like I could just go on and Google my name and see what the meaning was. So eventually you find one of those name books, and I'm looking through, and it says, Jacob, supplanter, you're like, underminer, deceiver. I was like, oh. I was like, so that's what my name meant. Because that's not what it means for me, and that's not what, once Jacob encountered God, he was able to leave his past behind. And that's what kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to read from the verses from Colossians. It's Colossians 3. We're going to focus on 9 to 17 today. And so the first part is verse 9 to 11. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Oh, it's up there too. That's nice. I didn't notice that. So, these verses are very special to me because I think it's really important when we talk about being a Christian. Sometimes we wax eloquent about what it means to follow Jesus, but sometimes our actions don't really back that up. And so that's what I wanted to focus on today. So when we talk about your new self, I was like, which is really what these verses in Colossians, and I would encourage you to read the whole chapter if you have your Bibles, skim through it, because really it's very important to see it as a cohesive whole. It's talking about once we've come to know Jesus, once we've been resurrected with him, we're new. And this is found in other parts of the Bible too. They talk a lot about we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But I guess what I want to get at is what does that really mean? Because these are verses that some of us who have been raised in the church like me have heard many, many times. But then we start to wonder, well, what does that actually mean for my life? What does it mean to be a new creation in Christ? Because if I look at my life, I'm someone that grew up in a Christian home, Christian parents. I, you know, made the decision when I was young to follow Christ, stayed on that path, obviously, took my things, you know, as you grow, as many of you do. But I never really had a big crisis in my life that made me look for God. If I look at my life was actually pretty comfortable. It's like, we weren't rich, but my parents provided for us. I was like, we had a happy home. I had a good example of a marriage. So sometimes I wonder, was my conversion really accurate? Like, was it real? Was it as real as someone else who suffered and went through something and there was this moment where it was like, yes. But I also had that moment in my life where it's, okay, am I going to break from my comfort? Am I going to follow God? Am I really going to follow God and like follow it up with action? Because I say I believe in God, I know what he wants, but if I'm honest, I don't want to give up things in my life. There's things I don't want to sacrifice. So I think it comes to a moment, everyone is different, every story is different, but at some point, we need to realize that we are a child of God. And I think we can go forward, Aiden. Sorry, I apologize to Aiden because there's a lot of slides. You can go to the next one too if you want. So it's basically, God gives you your name and your calling significance, and that's what I found in my life. And we kind of need to get a hold of that before we can go any farther. What does it mean to be a child of God? Because when we say that, oh yeah, I'm a child of God, it's like, and sometimes it's easy to say, we're all children of God. Is that what the Bible actually says? Because it doesn't say we're all children of God. It says once we've believed in him, once we've received him, we've been given the right to be called children of God. So it's a right. And with that right, I believe, personally, comes expectations. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we're going to be holy. But it means that we strive for that. And that when we fall, we have a Savior who will lift us up, walk with us through the hard times, walk with us through the dark times. And if we go away from him, he will wait for us. So this idea that in Jesus, the old has gone and the new has come, is very important in determining our own identity as a child of God. Tim Keller says, and it's a quote I really like, he says, the Bible says that our real problem is that every one of us is building our identity on something else besides Jesus. Do you think, I think that's true. I think we struggle with that. Sometimes we say Jesus is the center. We sing it. But sometimes, if you look at your life, does it actually look like that? We did an exercise in Colombia. I'm part of helping run a leadership course that my friend Andres has developed for Latin America specifics, but it really works for everything in general. And when we say leadership, it's called Leadership 4D. But when we say leadership, we're not just talking about the pastor, the people that are in leadership. We're talking about everyone. Everyone is called, we believe, to be a leader in Christ. What you do and how that looks may be different depending on your giftings, but everyone needs to realize what it means to be a leader in Christ and a follower of Christ. And it's something that needs to be holistic, which is something we found people struggle with. Sometimes people are very, very spiritual, read the Bible every day, know it back to front. It's like, but then when it comes to dealing with people, they can't talk to them. They're crusty, maybe. They have problems. And all of us have our weak areas. So it focuses on four areas and trying to bring them together into one person. So you're able to realize, oh yeah, I need to work on this, or oh yeah, I need to work on this. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, doesn't mean that all those four things are going to be super good all the time, but it means that we struggle with it, and we try to get better. And I think the idea of making a holistic person into being a leader is very, very important, into our identity needs to be the center. We need to focus on Christ. So even though the course we're offering is for churches, but also for secular, we focus on Christ. We focus on reading through the Bible and saying, like, how, what was Jesus like? What does that mean for us? What were the people that followed him like? What does that mean for us? We see the failings of some of his followers. We identify with that, and we identify with failings, and then we try to get better. And this is something that I really like about the course that that my friend Andres designed. Because at the beginning of the course, he asks people to draw their life. And so I want you guys, just for a minute in your minds, just think about it. If you had to draw your life, like, what are the most important things? What does your life look like in your mind? And you're drawing it in your mind, what does it look like? What does it look like to you? And it's kind of interesting because a lot of people, committed Christians to new Christians and everyone, their drawings kind of look like this. There's like them in the middle, and then there's different things all around them, right? Like work, church, Bible study, whatever's all around, all the things are around them. And then we talk about, okay, is that really how your life should look? Or if when we're Christians, should it be Jesus in the center and everything going around that? Because it's really, really tempting to be like, I'm the center. Because we're very egocentrical people. I am too. And it's nice for me, there's that song, Jesus Be the Center. I've sang it a lot of time, and it's not always true in my life. It's sometimes I'm the center, or ladies the center, or my friends are the center. There's lots of things that sometimes take over the throne from Christ in my life. And I think that's what we need to focus on. If we want to know where we get our identity from, if we want to actually be children of God, Jesus has to be the center of our life. And it's easy to forget this. That we can, I keep going. I also know I'm on a time limit here, so sometimes we can forget who we are. I have a really, really good memory for my long list of complaints and failures and things that have been hard in my life. I can remember them very, very well. Or when somebody was mean to me, I know I'm supposed to forget, but it's easy to remember. You can get over it. And we should forget, but sometimes we don't. But I have a really bad memory when it comes to the things that God has done in my life, his faithfulness. There's some things I remember, like key things in my life, that are easy to remember. But at the same time, it's easy to forget. And so I had a habit, I say had because I need to get better at doing it because I've lost it, of writing down daily, things to God, my prayer requests, but not just prayer requests, kind of like letters to him, just that's the way I would communicate in a more deeper way. And going back and looking at them, there's things that God did for me that I had been talking to him about years ago. And at some point, sometimes right away they were done, sometimes not right away, sometimes it was way down the line. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't remember asking God for that, and he did that for me, or I don't remember that I was struggling with this, and now I'm fine. And the gratefulness and the thankfulness, I didn't see. I didn't see reflected too much in my writing. It was just talking about what's going on in my life at that moment. And it's sometimes we forget, and we forget to be grateful. We forget to be grateful for the people God's brought into our lives, for the healing he's brought, for when we've gone through the hard times and the things that have been really, really difficult, we can see that he's been with us, or he sent us people to help us through those times. So my memory can get really bad, and I think that affects your identity. You forget who you are in Christ, that we are called to be children of God, so we have that connection. Jesus was called the Son of God. We are called to be like him. Not that we're gods. That's not an option, but in the character-wise. We can be like him, and we have the same Father. And I think that's a blessing. I wanted to talk briefly about a girl from our project, and I wanted to ask my wife to come up and share because she's really nervous, but she can be up here preaching just as well as I can. Oh, yes, you can. And so I want her to share a little bit about Paola's story when she came to our project.
Hi, everyone. I will do my best. If you can understand me, feel free to ask Jacob. He will translate my English, okay? So, Paola, she's a teenager. Her mom died 5 years ago. She lives with her dad. Her dad is a guy who sells veggies at the streets in a city that is nearby where we live. And he basically spent his money on alcohol. So she doesn't have any family support. So she got into prostitution and drugs. And that was her life for, I think, 3 or 4 years. We met her 1.5 years ago. She came into our program. She was a girl who struggled a lot with her self-esteem. She didn't believe that she had any value at all, that somebody will care for her, that will watch after her, that will give her hope, treat her well. So in all those years, she made bad decisions. She met a guy who is a drug dealer, and after they met like for a month, she got pregnant. So she was like, there I am, with a little shy, I'm a broken heart, I don't know if I can do this, if I can get a good mom. And basically, she didn't have any hope. And she didn't have any value at all in who she actually was. And for her, it was really hard to believe that somebody can trust and believe in her and encourage her and cheer her up. That was something that she never experimented in her place. And yeah.
No, está bien.
Okay.
Y si está bien.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't need this. So I have two microphones. So we'll talk more about Paola in a bit too, because it's interesting to hear some more of her story. But we'll move on to the second point, because we need to get to it, which is, what do you do? So now we've talked about who we are in Christ. What is our identity? If we can really accept that we are a child of God, how does that translate into action? And it's all the whole like faith works, faith in deeds. One without the other doesn't really work. So we are all called to the same mission. And I think that's something to get at, because it's weird. I said, like, the idea of me calling myself a missionary is really something weird for me. It's a blessing that I'm supported by many of you, by this church and other communities. It's a blessing. But at the same time, sometimes when it's like, okay, I'm filling out those tax forms or something, and it's like, occupation. That's my occupation? Like, what do you put? Like, I always try to think, like, okay, missionary. And people are like, misionero? ¿Qué es eso? It's like, that's like, missionary? What's that? So I'm like, no, I'm here. I'm supported by a church to work here. I'm working, doing this project. Like, oh. It's kind of like one of those things. But it's weird, because we're all called to the same mission. Maybe it just looks different. Not everyone is called to go live overseas. Not everyone is called to, like, my idea of a missionary is someone that goes and lives in Kenya and works there, or goes and works in Vietnam and lives there, or goes to South America and goes to Colombia or Venezuela. No. It doesn't have to be. It can be just like, I'm called to minister to my neighbor. I'm called to minister to the person at work. I'm called to share Jesus' love with this person. I'm called to show them what it means to be a Christian. It might be in how you do business. If you do it the same as everyone else, or if you care for your workers, if you're a boss. There's lots of different ways. But I'm of the mindset that it needs to be both. It can't just be all talk and no action, and it can't be all action and no talk, what we said, faith and deeds. It needs to be cohesive. It needs to be together. I read something by Ron Sider, an article he wrote to talking to our generation, and I thought there was something very interesting, because he said he was talking to our generation. He said, you guys are very good at going out and doing a lot of social work, about social justice. You stand up for people. You stand up for the oppressed. He was like, that's good. He was like, but you've gotten lazy in how you talk about it and why you're doing it and the purposes behind it. Because otherwise, it could just be, oh, Jacob and Lady are good people. They do this. Good for them. They're great. And so it's something hard, especially, I'm going to relate it to us. It's hard because sometimes these girls, some people like Paola, latch on to us. And it's like, oh, you guys are so great, and we have to get through them. It's like, we're not doing this just because we're great people. It's like, we're doing this because we feel a calling from God, and this is God. This is God's love that we want you to see. And I think it needs to be that way in everything we do. I want to talk about Lady for a minute because she had a problem with her identity for a bit because her identity was linked to her occupation. And she studied to be a systems engineer. So a lot of time when she's talking about the project, people are like, oh, so you're a psychologist? She's like, no. Oh, so what did you study? He's like, I studied to be a systems engineer. And they're like, oh, like, well, then why are you doing this? Like, you're not called to do this. You don't have training. That's not to say that we don't need psychologists. We have psychologists that help us, and we think it's important because it's not like you can just go on YouTube and become a psychologist. I was like, we need those people. But Lady doesn't need training to show God's love. She doesn't need training just to love these girls and to show them what it is to have someone that supports them and cares for them. And slowly but surely, she's been seeing that. And it's hard because her husband can tell her that many times, but it sometimes means more when she hears it from other people. And so other people have been encouraging to her and told her this. And it's getting through slowly but surely, but it's something that Lady's realizing that God's called her to do. And it's been a hard sacrifice for her to sacrifice her career to do this. And so I think it's when we get down to like our actions, if we get back to Paula, oh, we're a ways down. Let's go. There we go. So if we get back, no, if you would just keep going down. Sorry, Aiden. I didn't make it that clear. Yeah, keep going. There. So this is Paula 1 month before like we left. We had a graduation party for them. That's her baby, Valerie. She's really cute. She screams like, no, get out. But she's really, really cute. And so the first picture was from when Paula first came. And as Lady was talking, she was a broken girl, trouble with self-esteem. She still struggles with her self-esteem. She still struggles with her identity. But there's a confidence there that's different. She's been able to leave her boyfriend. She's been able to make the hard decisions because she has a support system. It was like, her baby is loved. She's a good mom. She's a good mom. She has no one else, really. She's one of the cases with a lot of the girls that we have that has no one else. Her dad's not present. Her dad's an alcoholic. Her boyfriend was a drug dealer, beat her. He's been able to separate a lot from that life. And Paula wrote something to Lady for her graduation that when we had the graduation that all the girls were supposed to write something in general thanking people, and she wrote one part that was very personal for Lady. And Lady didn't want to share it because she didn't want to put all the attention on her. But I'm going to share it now because I think it's important. Because Paula didn't write something that was very eloquent, very nice. It was like she has lots of spelling errors. But what she wrote was, it was just a phrase that it's going to make me cry, but she just said, I want to thank Lady because she's the first person that's ever felt proud of me. And just the fact that that came through, that she could feel that someone felt proud of her. You've seen a change in this girl. We've seen a change, and we know that it's because of God. It's not some big conversion story. We don't know where Paula will end up. We're still in contact with her. Like, she still calls Lady. She's like a mom. Lady's like a mom for her. And we pray that someday she'll accept Jesus, that someday she'll get it. But it's a stepping stone. And just that she knows that, that's a seed of God's love in her heart. And if Lady hadn't decided to do this, it's not something I could do. So it gives worth. Our sacrifice, God always turns our sacrifices into blessings for other people and for blessings for us. And I think it's so wonderful what Lady's been able to do. And I love you. So, let's move on because we're getting there. When you're a child of God, you are about your Father's work. His passion is your passion, or His passion becomes your passion. It's like once you know who you are in Jesus, once you've accepted God as your Father, then you become passionate about the things He's passionate for. Justice, righteousness, holiness. They become things that are important to you and things that you want to share with other people. So, let's go forward. To finish, we're going to talk about your identity is linked to your calling. As we said in the beginning, this is something that I really think is important. Once we know who we are, we know how to follow Jesus better. Once we can accept that we are children of God, we can go there farther. And there's something in the leadership course that we talk about that I thought was very interesting, and it's something that I really, really liked. And that's in the Bible, after the fall, it's like there's something that happens. And so it says that we were made, like after Adam had his kids, there's a verse in that we were made in the likeness of Adam. So we can look at this. So it's Genesis 5, 1 to 3. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam, when God created man. He made him in the likeness of God, male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man. When they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. This was something that, for me, was a bit new, because I'd always heard, yeah, we're made in the image of God. All of us are image bearers. We're made in the image of God. That's true, but after the fall, that image became distorted. I think this verse is very important when it says it was like his own likeness after his image. In came the human aspect as well. But it's like it doesn't just end there. This is something that's very real, because if we go forward to Colossians again, it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So instead of the image of Adam, we have the image of its creator. So through Jesus, our image is being restored. We are made in the likeness of God. We are in the image of God. We are called act like Jesus. And therefore, if we're called to be like him and to act like him, our image has to reflect him. And if you're going to read later the verses from Colossians 12 to 17, those are verses special to me because they're written on the inside of this ring here. That's what Lady chose to put. And it says, above all things, put on love. And then what happens? Your character begins to change. You become more humble. You care about other people. If you wrong someone, you go find them. And then three times it talks about being thankful to God. And as I said, that's something that I struggle with. I need to be more thankful. I need to be more grateful. So, once we know who Jesus is, we know who we are. We can go forward. So we know who Jesus is, we know who we are, and why were we put on this earth. It doesn't just end at, I'm a child of God. I'm made in his likeness. I'm going to be a good person. That's not where it ends. It ends in going out, showing this, talking about this to other people. I always relate talking about Jesus for me as like, if you know me, I love movies. I love them. I love watching them. I love the stories. I love books. And I love sharing that with other people. Like, oh, I've seen a really, really good movie. Oh, I've seen this book is so good, you should read it. Sometimes people don't agree with me, which is fine. And then we have an argument. but it's something I enjoy sharing. And so at some point in my life, I was like, am I the same way about Jesus? Like when something happens in my life that's completely from Christ, do I run out and I want to share that with everyone? Or do I keep that for me? Because maybe they won't get it. Or I just share it with my Christian friends because they'll get it. No. It's like that joy should be there. If Jesus is the center, if you're a child of God, that joy should be there. You should want to share with everyone. Maybe they won't get it. Maybe you don't even get it. I was like, sometimes we don't get it. But the things that should be shared. And I don't know where you guys are this morning. I don't know how many of you are followers of Christ. I don't know how many of you are searching. But I would ask you to search more. I would encourage you to ask people. Ask people here. Ask me, ask my dad, ask my wife, ask my mom, ask whoever. I was like, because the person next to you should be able to tell you the gospel just as well as I can. And be able to tell you in a different way because it's affected them in a different way. It's not just an initial decision. The decision is followed by a process. There's a phrase I like, I think it was Keith Price in his book, he says, like, a decision without a process is an abscess. And it's something that stuck with me, is like, it needs to keep going. It needs to produce fruit. So I would really encourage you, I stand up here because I love Jesus. We do what we do because we love Jesus. And when I talk about him, I get emotional because he's done a lot in my life. And there's things I've had to sacrifice. There's friendships here, people I love. It's hard. It's hard for me to be away. But I have friendships there. I have my wife. I have my family there, like the people that I love too. And it's hard for me to be away from them. And God showed me that I have to take those idols down off the throne and put him in the middle and learn to trust in him as a father. And he will lead me where I go. Because when you're his child, you are blessed. And you are blessed to bless others, which is the last point. Blessings aren't always in the physical sense. Blessings can be many things. And when they come, we're called to use that to bless others. The quote that I want to finish with before we watch a video says, God blesses us so we can bless others. If we don't see the purpose of our blessings, let me tell you what will happen. Our handfuls will become handcuffs. Our possessions will become our obsessions. Our position will have no mission, and our occupation will lack a destination. I'm going to read it again because I like that part. Our handfuls will become handcuffs. Our possessions will become our obsessions. Our position will have no mission, and our occupation will lack a destination. We need to go out. We need to act on what we believe. If you identify as a child of God, what's happening in your life? Maybe it's stagnant right now. Maybe you've been waiting for a push. Maybe you need to go out. Maybe you're doing a lot of stuff. Maybe you're doing well, so I want to encourage you. Keep doing it. It's worth it. And I want to say it to myself. The reason we started the whole project was because we got comfortable. Missionaries get comfortable too. It happens to everyone. You go somewhere, you get comfortable, and then, oh, wait, should be doing more. There's more to be done. There's things to do. I don't know what it is. Let's focus. I think that's always a thing. It's like it's easy to get comfortable, and we need to break those restraints.